We join together to be one family. We join together to accept each other, to uplift ourselves, to instruct ourselves, to learn, to enjoy. And so it's with a great pleasure that I get to come and be with you and share with you in that light, in that spirit of the One Earth family. And you know, I chose this hymn very carefully. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Our world right now is in a dire state, it seems. The uncivility that is rampant in our land. And so today what I want to bring us is both looking at the reality of that, but meeting that inside and out, realizing that the spirit of life is actually unquenchable and is alive and well. So that's our opening, Cindy. Yes, these are hard times. Our country is beset. Our hearts are beset. How on earth do we get through it whole? How do we get through it refueled? How do we get through it, hopefully managing to do something corrective or positive that will bring our life spiraling upward once again? How do we do that? Each one of us, I know, has ways that we do it. Can I back this off a little bit? Let's see. Each one of us has many ways we do that. Coming here helps us do that. It gives us the faith, the support of each other. How many of you were here last week with Pete and his music? Most of you were. Yeah. I had in mind to have him here. He was going to come. We were going to do those last three songs. But he had to leave also. Meeting the crises of our times, how do we do it? You know, I've lived my life in service as a nurse, as a music therapist, as a consciousness trainer, as a counselor, finally as a healer. So serving as a healer, both personally and now culturally, has been my life. And moving into the grandmother work that is shown by our indigenous, the wisdom keepers. How do they hold life whole? That is their job. Their job is to hold that circle together, that womb, that circle of life that we all are, leaving no one out, giving us practical ways to move through our troubles. Grandmothers, they carry a natural authority. Indeed. So the ways that I get through are various. You know, I'm an active person. I'm more a doer person than I am a teacher. I teach Reiki. We've been having lovely Reiki classes where people are bonding, learning to heal themselves, and then heal each other. And the last class here, about 3 weeks ago, four people committed to be a team to really make a difference in this world. And one of the four is 22. And one is 74. So that is one way that I make it through. But I'm going to bring to us four ways that very practically we can look to get through in better shape. The first is to tune to the larger. Tune to the larger influence in the world. That means sometimes your faith. It might mean nature. It might mean learning to listen to the wind. In my last class, I ended up using a recording that I took over on 16th Street in the middle of the night because I was hearing the trees, the wind through the trees, so beautifully that I recorded it, and we used it the whole class. I've been fascinated with the indigenous since the age of 7. And so I've been related with the indigenous people of the world. And it is a very noble indigenous grandmother from right here in Cedar Woolley, the Upper Skagit people, Vi Hilbert, that I carry the modeling and the inspiration to form a global grandmother's healing effort. So tuning to the larger. There's one way we are tuned to the universe, always. Can someone guess what it is?
Our breath.
Yes, you got it. Our breath, indeed. So I'm also a pretty physical person. I love to dance. You know, I got kicked out of my church for dancing when I was 16. And I haven't stopped dancing. So I'm actually going to get us to stand up, and I'm going to lead us through a three-part breathing that you can use anytime, anywhere. Because your breath has a capacity to bring you back to your natural order, has a capacity to smooth your emotions, has a capacity to give you more energy. Just your breath. Okay, I'm going to move away from here.
And invite everybody to stand up. And first of all, put your hands right here in your key. This is more martial artists or a dancer, you know, would move from this part of your body. And breathe in deeply, your natural breath. And out your mouth. Again, breathe up your spine. Fill way up here. And then out your mouth. And now follow my arms. Breathe in. Breathe out through your mouth. Breathe in. And down. And one more. Breathe in. That is the core breath. Now I'm going to teach you the three-part breath. And some of you will just stay standing or seated. You won't be leaning down to the ground so much. Others of you can do as much as you can or choose. So we're going to breathe in from a mountain. This is an exercise given me by Don Manuel from Peru. At 97 years old, his last trip to America, and it was right after 9/11. So we have several mountains around us. And he would say, you need to wake your mountains up. That was translated, of course. What it really meant was, we need to wake up to realize how much strength the mountains are providing for us, really. I mean, really, they're holding here. So we've got Rainier, we've got Baker, we've got the Olympics, we've got the Cascades, we're surrounded. So I want you to choose your mountain. You can face whatever direction that is. You know, I'm going to face Rainier because I'm rather fond of Rainier. And I imagine some of you are rather fond of Baker. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to breathe in richly from this mountain. We're going to breathe in. Just gather it. Gather it. Now use your arms. You can use your arms. You have arms. They're to be used. Yeah, breathe it in. Gather it in to your body. Bring it down. This is the strength of this mountain. And if you're able or choose, you can go clear down to the ground. Okay, let's do two more. Breathe in from that mountain. Breathe in. Breathe in. Take it in. Realize the magnificence of this mountain. Let yourself receive it generously, slowly. This time, stop right here at your key. You might bounce a little bit. This is the way you center. And one more. Here we go. Breathe it in. Breathe it in. Breathe it in. This time to your heart. So that's waking your mountain up. Now, you can apply the same one, 1, 2, 3, to giving back to Earth, giving to each other, and then giving to all that is. And so this time, we'll breathe in, and we'll gather from the Earth. Gather up from her. Gather it up. Breathe up, then turn your hands over and give it back to the Earth. And you can melt down your knees. And again, breathe it in, gather it, gather it, gather it, gather it up. And release it back to the earth yourself. It's about time we give some back to it. Truly. Okay. Now this time we're going to gather it, gather it, gather it. And we're going to give it to each other. Or exhale. Let's do that again. Yeah, yeah, Susan, get generous. Yeah, gather it up. Gather it up. Gather it up. Give it to each other. Share it. Share yourself. Beautiful. Now gather it up this time. Get ready to give it up. Out to every thing you know and don't know, to the whole galaxy, life. And let's do two more of those to be really full, gathering up from the mother herself, gathering up, offering out to all that is. And one last one. This is it for the breathing. So get all the oxygen. And just look around, feel inside yourself. I'll bet you have a little more energy. Thank you so much. So breath.
Breath is a wonderful way to tune to the larger. When I went to the Parliament of World Religions, I arrived and a friend of mine from Seattle walked up, beautiful African-American woman, and invited me to attend a performance. The performance was called Murmuration. Do any of you know what a murmuration is? You know those flocks of birds flying together gorgeously? How they shift and change and they're just all fluidly together? That is a murmuration. The schools of fish, as they move together, they don't bump into each other. They don't fight over who's the leader. They just move amazingly together. And science would tell us, as far as they've gotten with it, that they are tuning to a collective vibration. There are many ways to do this. I've been using that metaphor wherever I go in the world, doing service or healing, teaching, that being a murmuration together is a metaphor of lifting off and learning to move together in harmonious ways. Learning to soften our edges so that we accept the other just as they are. Murmuration. I have a feeling if I'm around, you're going to hear about it a little more. So tuning to the larger. Second, relate responsibly. Wow. Tend your relations well. You've heard the phrase, all my relations, through Native Americans. All my relations. Now we know that everything and everyone are connected. The mycelial that are the thread-like connections of mushrooms under the soil, connecting trees, bushes also. It's just an enormous net, connecting everything. Underneath our skin is an immune system that's like a whole threaded coat that looks like our body. Even in my medical training as a nurse, it wasn't concentrated on at all. In fact, it was barely acknowledged. Now, the importance of the immune system is way more emphasized. All the immune disorders we're having now that didn't even exist when I did my original nursing. So now, in my healing and my energy work, I concentrate on the immune system. But relating responsibly, tending your relations well. You know, all these pointers I'm giving you, I had a warm-up with young people who are graduating from Quest University up by Whistler in Canada. And I got to teach them a course which I called Skills for Everyday Living. And so these four, are fairly universal, I would say. Relating responsibly. The basic formula for relating is see who you are with. Hear them. Empathize into them. Find out more about who they are first. Then see what's going on with them. And then respond appropriately. So whether you're talking about the neighbor next door or a life partner, I believe that formula really stands true. I've had the pleasure of working with Jorge on the successful co-parenting work that he does. And that is such a point with two partners that are divorcing. you know, to get from the fight to this way of being able to accept at a different level. So relating responsibly, that also means relating to your community. You know, Jim sharing about the homeless, my goodness. It was just a couple weeks ago that your sharing was very different. You were so upset about the situation, and look what you've done and what you tuned into. You went to them. You found out who they are. You found out how well they're organized. You heard their story. And therefore, many good things are going to come because we're able to respond more appropriately. Okay. The third, those who know me would not be surprised that it's touch. Touch. We know that baby animals that are touched don't die of cancer when they should. The touch of the physical body is very much what I've been teaching for many years, 33 years. Taught at Harvard, did the research. I feel like I'm just a baby with that healing. That we are just a baby in learning to use it in our world, because it is such a way, for sure, reliably, to be able to bring yourself back to a balance, a homeostasis in medicine, a balance, natural order, back to natural order. So now my work in the grandmother way is to use it culturally. I'm so pleased to finally meet a young veteran from Iraq. This man has a purple heart. Hard won. 8 blow-ups. In Iraq, 2 consecutive Christmases. A staff sergeant. Responsible for many, many, mostly men. And women. His stories, oh my. His PTSD, so difficult. He couldn't answer the door. He couldn't get up in the night to pee without checking every window, every door 100 times. A year and a half ago, he connected with this simple, loving practice of Reiki. And he is so whole now that yesterday, not with me, but with another Reiki teacher, he became a Reiki teacher. And he's moved to Colorado Springs, where there are 3 military establishments, and he's going to serve their PTSD. And I'll go help him. Touch. The basic substance of life is light. And that is what the Reiki is. You might call it the spirit of life, or you could call it the wave of life. It is whatever you call it. That presence of normalcy. So my years of doing Reiki have been filled with what are miraculous healings in our allopathic way of looking. They're only miraculous because it's not me. They're miraculous because the practice is accessing the larger source. You don't even have to believe in a larger source. So people heal from stage 4 cancer and become chefs and travel or become an artist, filled with life, light, light. So when I say touch, I'm speaking of more than just a physical touch. I'm speaking of being touched in our hearts, touched with meaning, touched with beauty. Did any of you ever know Vi Hilbert? One, two. Wow. Usually there are a few others because she was quite well known as a storyteller, as a wise woman here. There's one word in Lushoot Seed that she taught me. The word is Adzidquis. 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 And she would teach us by saying, we love beauty. We love seeing beautiful things. We love hearing beautiful sounds. But the most beautiful is looking in the eyes of another human, sharing your humanness, your heart, your presence, your love. Adzidquis. So this challenge we have is coming from a state quite out of balance. Quite. You know, two of our sharings this morning were so clearly about that. It's beyond disturbing. It unsettles all of us. We're so out of balance. Did any of you view a film called Koyaan is Skatsi? Yes? Wow, good for you, Stephen. A young one. Yes, Jim. So this is a Hopi word for life out of balance, and I strongly recommend we could even get it and view it as one of our celebrations, and I promise to move it into a lighter light from the out of balance. But you see, that is our challenge, is to move from Koyaan is Skatsi, life out of balance, to Adzidquis. And Grandmother Vi called that the sacred friendship. That's why I'm sharing it under relating responsibly. The sacred friendship. Simple, simple. Being true to another human being in a way that doesn't end. That means regardless of what your differences are, you still honor, respect, care for each other. Jorge might not like me calling him out like this, but we're good friends. Yoli and Jorge and I, we're family. And early on in our friendship, I spoke about sacred friendship. And you know, there are some issues where Jorge and I are just absolutely complementary. I'm on one side and he's on the other. And you know, that's just a part of the beauty. We're always at home in that sacred friendship, relating responsibly. And then touch, being touched with meaning. Meaning. Wow, this sadness about moral, you know, the moral foundation not being honored or even present. Mm-hmm. I'm getting to work these days with the Charter for Compassion, which is a global organization to bring more compassion into the world. It's existed since the Dalai Lama visited Seattle 10 years ago. And so I'm asked to anchor an event in Seattle in November called Alchemy, women rising, men igniting, to build a compassionate world. There's a phrase that I love using about that. Grandma Vi told a story. The story was about the Golden Village. The Golden Village, where everyone looked in everyone else's eyes and kindness was present. The Golden Village, where the food was present and shared. The Golden Village, where people created together, celebrated their joys and sorrows together. The Golden Village. Remember our opening quote from Mahatma Gandhi? There's no mistake in him using the words, the golden way. The golden way was to be friends with the world and treat every human being as a member of one family. That is my aim as a global grandmother, is to keep gathering us together. And that means doing the hard work. It means when we got a chance, Doris and I, to bring a young mother and child back together who were torn apart in that horrible situation we're all heart sick about. We're given a chance to do that. And Lita Sanchez, our immigration attorney, is my friend. I walked into her office to invite her to my birthday party. She said, I can't believe you walked in here now. I just got an unprecedented appointment with the court to try to free this young woman from federal prison and her boy from the kid cages in New York. Wow. But Norma Jean, I'm panicked. I only have 3 days, and it is July 3rd. With the biggest party on earth in between. So the first question, what's needed? Come on, Lita. A place. They can have my bedroom. I have lots of places to sleep. I'll check it out with my housemates. So it can be a simple thing. In one moment that you expand yourself to say yes, a radical yes, beyond what maybe life in the normal way you've lived it would have you responding. A big, big yes. So that goes to the fourth point very well. And the fourth point is to engage, to serve, service. Oh my goodness, it is so clear that most of humanity does not know how good it feels to help. How good our body works when it's that happy. This gold necklace I have on, you can look at it later, is actually a chemical formulation for the bliss hormone, oxytocin. I always have to think to make sure I don't say OxyContin, right? Which is a very highly, I'm going to say poisonous, pain med that people die from and overdose from. But oxytocin is what is emitted when you're in love. I'm sure you're making oxytocin sometimes, Stephen, when you're playing. Absolutely. When I went back to Japan, And I was really in pilgrimage about my Reiki healing, to explore the roots of it, to know whether it was worthy of spending the rest of my life devoted to it. My goodness. There I found writings. It blew me away. I'd already taught Reiki 30 years and thought I was pretty well acquainted. But the original writings said two things about Reiki. The secret art of inviting happiness. Wow. We could use a bit of that, huh? And the other was miraculous cure of all disease. You can imagine that I didn't use that formally for want of being sued or something. It actually is true. So serving and engaging, saying yes, accentuating the positive. That's one of my favorite songs. You got to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative and latch on to the affirmative and don't mess with Mr. and Mrs. in between. So those are four ways we can get through. I would say the larger is to keep loving, keep caring, keep sharing, keep circulating, and keep opening to a place that is uncomfortable. I'm so happy to be working with people who seem to be bent along the same lines of being willing to be radically open and give radically. Indeed, indeed. So, my dears, those are my practical ways to offer of ways to get through. You know, our associating, our breath, our reaching to the larger, tuning to the larger. Maybe that's a simple walk in nature. That's a beautiful way to tune to the larger. Make yourself do it. Just step out. Tune to the larger. Indeed. And then relate responsibly. This is real relations. There are more people on earth. There are more coming. We're being squeezed tighter, needing to keep our functions going harmoniously, hopefully. That is the aim. So, my dears, I invite you. I invite you in. Any way I can support any of this in our church. And there will be other events coming forward through this grandmother work or this larger work of supporting us all to come back together as one Earth family. Since I moved here, I've been having various events all surrounded by that aim. Sister Lucy Currien, you know, she was here, our living Mother Teresa. Father Tracy, our 100-year-old Irish priest. The sons of Sister Lucy. Recently leading the apology for the Duwamish people. This is Chief Seattle's people. We got to be there, 80 of us, and deliver a real apology. And we also delivered the Declaration of Common Human Decency. So you have that before you there. And I would like to suggest that we end this time of my sharing with you by us all reading that together. And actually, someone has to hand me one up because I don't have one.
The Declaration. It says, Declaration of Common Human Decency, and there were 10 copies, and I see one right here with no letters to handle on it. So it looks like this. It has a real green well at the top. So this is at the core of the grandmother work to gather our One Earth family. And it's gone to India, it's gone all over the world, really. And so as the earth is going through her changes, you know, many of the teachers, the indigenous teachers that I know, are saying that the earth has already shifted in its polarization. The pole of the earth has already shifted. The earth changes that are happening, of course, because the skin of the earth is so riveted, it's been drilled and held in so many ways. And so the best thing we can do, perhaps, at least vibrationally, is to lift off gently as we can to allow her to do exactly what she needs to do. To hear the teaching in the way I received it so fully in the Native way, was to realize the larger picture, to really tune to the larger once again. So let's share this together. Declaration of Common Human Decency. And join with me. On behalf of our beloved Mother Earth, from the deep taproot of all nations, and for all of the present and future inhabitants, we, the One Earth family, declare our presence and support of all beings being accepted, housed, fed, allowed to worship, given education, healed, be free to speak and express, and create harmony and beauty in world community as one family. Balance, healing and health, well-being, and sharing of resources to bring this state of common human decency again to our beloved earth. We all say yes. And there is the website, Grandmother's Global Healing, that you can sign on as a member of this One Earth family. Please do that. You know, us amassing together is a way to tune together. So thank you.